Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading of the ninth chapter of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Prahlad Pacifies Lord Narsingadeva with Prayers, and we're on text 44. Prayena Deva Munayak Savimukti Kama Maunang Charanti Vijane Naparartha Nishtaha Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vimumuksha Eko Nanyang Twarasya Sharanang Brahmato Nupasye Prayena Deva Munayak Savimukti Kama Maunang Charanti Vijane Naparartha Nishtaha Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vimumuksha Eko Nanyang Twarasya Sharanang Brahmato Nupasye Prayena Deva Munayak Savimukti Kama Maunang Charanti Vijane Naparartha Nishtaha Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vimumuksha Eko Nanyang Twarasya Sharanang Brahmato Nupasye Ladies, please.
Thank you.
Prayena, generally, in almost all cases, Deva, O my Lord, Munayaha, the great saintly persons, Swa, personal, own, Vimukti Kamaha, ambitious for liberation from this material world, Maunam, silently, Charanti, they wander, in places like the Himalayan forests, where they have no touch with the activities of the materialists. Vijane, in solitary places. Na, not. Para artanishtaha, interested in working for others by giving them the benefit of the Krishna consciousness movement, by enlightening them with Krishna consciousness. Na, not. Etan, these. Vihaya, leaving aside. Kripanan, fools and rascals, engage in materialistic activity, who do not know the benefit of the human form of life. Vimumukshe, I desire to be liberated and to return home back to Godhead. Ekaha, alone. Na, not. Anyam, other. Twat, but for you. Asya, of this. Sharanam, shelter. Brahmataha, of the living entity, rotating and wandering throughout the material universes. Anupashye, do I see? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Lord Nrsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forests to meditate with vows of silence, Manavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go even to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naivodvaje para duratas, duratyaya vaitaranyaha. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana paraksarve na kutashtana bivyati svarga pavarga narakeshu apituryarta darshinaha. Devotees solely engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment. The jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place, just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness because that's the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam Tvadasya Sharanang Brahmato Nupashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe, life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayan forest. In the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Om Jnanatimirandasya Agnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sabudale Shimate Paladananda Swaitone Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sabudale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaitone Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vicharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashtatyade Shatarani. So this is actually an extremely important verse for our society. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 Mahajans. And our particular branch of the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya is specifically a follower in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is also in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the mood of wanting to enlighten the masses of the fallen jiva souls that are stuck here rotting, or as it said, rotating in this material world, birth after birth, life after life, struggling with these five senses, the six senses, including the mind. Struggling, trying to make adjustments with material arrangements, trying to become happy, and doing nothing but suffering. And really, this is our actual activity. Our actual activity is simply surrendering to the desire, the mission of the spiritual master. In our case, Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you're interested in finding out more specifics of what it means to be a founder acharya, go into the Vedabase and look up what Adi Guru means. Adi Guru means to be the original guru for a chain of disciplic succession, the founder of a whole branch. when it's talking about the tree of devotional service in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explained that ISKCON is an entire branch on this tree, a massive branch, and Prabhupada is the founder of that branch. So all of us who are following after Prabhupada, we all follow Prabhupada's teachings. Just like, for instance, in the Sri Sampradaya, it's also known as the Ramanuja Sampradaya, because Ramanujacharya is the founder acharya of that branch. So even after so many hundreds and hundreds of years, they still all reference and follow Ramanujacharya's teachings. Not the teachings of this guru or the teachings of that sannyasi. They only follow the teachings of Ramanujacharya because he's the Adi Guru for Sri Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of this branch that we're following. As long as ISKCON exists, as long as Prabhupada's books and teachings exist, Prabhupada's teachings will be the prime instruction for this age. Everyone, for all generations to come, will reference Prabhupada's teachings. Not this guru or that guru or this sannyasi and what this person thinks and some person had a nice idea here and now we're going to propound that. No. We reference Prabhupada's teachings. What is it that Prabhupada taught? This is what Prabhupada taught. This verse right here encapsulates it. This is Prabhupada's mood. Going to the busiest places and preaching there. Not being interested in secluding oneself, trying to make some show bottle effort of being some spiritualist, but really doing all kinds of nonsense activities on the sides. No, going into the hearts of the cities. Even Savasprabhu has this nice quote. You go to his office and you'll see it right there. That we'll adopt all the means of the materialists, but for the purposes of Krishna consciousness. This is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, engaging everything in Krishna service. Not having some disdain for something because, ooh, I can't touch that. Or, ooh, I can't do this. You know, I'm a Brahmana. Or all these different ideas. No, the mood is to do whatever is necessary, not getting caught up in these trappings of material designations, upadis. I'm a Brahmin, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Vaishya, I'm a Shudra. These are all upadis, it's simply material designations. I'm a Brahmachari, I'm a Grihastha, I'm a Vanapras, I'm a Sannyas. This is all upadi. I mean, yes, in one sense, these designations can help us in the gradual progress of spiritual understanding, but ultimately, simply limiting ourselves, pigeonholing ourselves into these false upadis will do nothing but hinder us in our spiritual progress. Because ultimately, what's Prahlad Maharaj saying? Prahlad Maharaj is saying here that no matter how many material adjustments you try to make, no matter what varna you try to identify yourself with, no matter what ashram you try to exalt, no matter what you try to do in this material world, no matter what adjustments you try to make. I mean, look at Prahlad Maharaj's father. It's a perfect example. Prahlad Maharaj's father became the master of the universe. Literally. He was in complete control of this entire universe. And what was he? Miserable. He had it all under his control. All of it. Just consider. How many people think, if only I had a little money, then I'd be happy. If only I had a little respect, or a little power, or a little influence, or just a little peace, some little parcel of land off in the country, then I would be happy. No, none of that will bring any happiness. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Prahlad Maharaj rather is saying, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter for a devotee whether they're in the heavenly planets, whether they're in the hellish planets. That makes no difference to a devotee. Because a devotee actually does not exist, does not live in this material world. A pure devotee who is sold out to the instruction of the spiritual master actually does not live in this material world. They live directly in the spiritual world. So what difference does it make whether this body is in some hellish condition or this body is in some heavenly condition? Because the consciousness, the actual self, the Atma, is living eternally in the spiritual world. So what it really requires is becoming a surrendered soul. Until we actually become a surrendered soul, we'll be stuck within these lower interests of karmis and jnanis. Karmis are trying to make material adjustments. It's like a whole panel full of different knobs and dials and levers they're trying to adjust. Trying to adjust all the possible variables. Trying to get the perfect balance. Oh, if I just add a little bit more of this and decrease a little bit of that, then I'll be happy. If I just get a little bit more money, get one more bedroom in my house, and, you know, get a house by the countryside, then they get their country house and they find out that there's a train that's 1 mile down the way. And every half hour, 45 minutes, they hear the train. Massive horn blowing, waking up their kids at night. Something, there's always a disturbance in this material world. Never will there be a situation where you can make the perfect adjustment to achieve perfect material happiness. It does not exist. So what happens when somebody gets frustrated with making material adjustments? They say, oh, to hell with it all, and they try to become a jnani. Well, if I can't achieve happiness through material adjustment, then I'll become God. I'll become one with God, and therefore I'll be happy. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Once we just embrace this concept that we're all gods and goddesses, then we'll all be happy because it'll just be divine. It'll be so wonderful. But that's just a bunch of bogus nonsense. It's just garbage. Because really, this is the ultimate expression of false ego. There is no surrender with jnanis. There is no humility with jnanis. That's the ultimate declaration of hubris, of false ego. I am God. Or if I'm not God, at least I'm an equal to God. I'm God's peer. But that's bogus also. We're never God's peer. The only solution is actually to take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master and to fully surrender at his lotus feet. Only then can we actually realize what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Nanyang Twadasya Sharanang Brahmato Nupashe. This very simple thing cannot be realized unless we surrender at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj says, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. No matter what you try to do, no matter who you try to impersonate, you'll never be happy. You can't just falsely declare yourself to be some bogus incarnation and then complain that other people aren't giving you the respect that you deserve. Because after all, I'm an incarnation, or I'm a son of Krishna, or whatever. Whatever bogus nonsense you're trying to propagate. So what does this mean? What does it mean to surrender? Prabhupada explains it in the preface to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's also explained in the Nectar of Devotion. There's this really nice excerpt. It's just three paragraphs. It's the first three paragraphs, actually, from the CC in the preface. I thought it'd be nice just to read it. Prabhupada says, "There's no difference between the teachings of Lord Chaitanya presented here and the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya are practical demonstrations of Lord Krishna's teachings. Lord Krishna's ultimate instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is that everyone should surrender unto him, Lord Krishna. Krishna promises to take immediate charge of such a surrendered soul. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is already in charge of the maintenance of this creation by virtue of its plenary expansion, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. But this maintenance is not direct. However, when the Lord says that he takes charge of his pure devotee, he actually takes direct charge. A pure devotee is a soul who is forever surrendered to the Lord, just as a child is surrendered to his parents or an animal to its master. In the surrendering process," so here Prabhupada defines the six processes of surrender. Sometimes devotees don't really know what it means to surrender. It just sounds like some nice idea. Yeah, I suppose I should surrender. But they actually have no clue what it means to surrender. Well, fortunately for us, Prabhupada has actually very clearly defined what it means to surrender. The surrendering process. One should, one, accept things favorable for discharging devotional service. Two, reject things unfavorable. Three, always believe firmly in the Lord's protection. Four, feel exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Five, have no interest separate from the interests of the Lord. And six, always feel oneself meek and humble. So a step here in the process of surrender is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Always believe firmly in the Lord's protection. Because we can't be happy unless we surrender to the Lord. If we feel that we can be protected elsewhere, then we'll seek that happiness elsewhere. Because ultimately, where we seek our happiness is where we're, you know, you have to read between the lines. Wherever you seek happiness is where you feel you're gaining protection from. So if you think that money is going to make you happy, that means that you think that money can protect you. If you try to seek happiness through material relationships, that means that you think that material relationships will give you protection. If you think that power will bring you happiness, that means that you think that power will protect you. Wherever we seek happiness is where we're seeking protection. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that only by surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna can we actually achieve happiness. And this is what people need to realize. And this is step three of the surrender process. Always believe firmly in the Lord's protection. So Prabhupada goes further in the preface here. The Lord demands that one surrender unto him by following these six guidelines. But the unintelligent so-called scholars of the world misunderstand these demands and urge the general mass of people to reject them. At the conclusion of the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna directly orders, "Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me alone, and offer obeisances unto me alone." By so doing, the Lord says, one is sure to go to him in his transcendental abode. But the scholarly demons misguide the masses of people by directing them to surrender not to the personality of Godhead, but rather to the impersonal, unmanifested, eternal, unborn truth. The impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers do not accept that the ultimate aspect of the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one desires to understand the sun as it is, One must first face the sunshine, and then the sun globe, and then, if one is able to enter into that globe, one may come face to face with the predominating deity of the sun. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, the Mayavadi philosophers cannot go beyond the Brahman effulgence, which may be compared to the sunshine. The Upanishads confirm that one has to penetrate the dazzling effulgence of Brahman before one can see the real face of the personality of Godhead. Just like at the end of the Sri Upanishad, in the prayer it's asking for this dazzling effulgence to be removed. Lord Chaitanya therefore teaches direct worship of Lord Krishna, who appears as the foster child of the king of Braja. He also teaches that the place known as Vrindavan is as good as Lord Krishna, because Lord Krishna is the absolute truth. There is no difference between him and his name, qualities, form, pastimes, entourage, and paraphernalia. That is the absolute nature of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya also teaches that the highest mode of worship in the highest perfectional stage is the method practiced by the damsels of Braja. These damsels, gopis or cowherd girls, simply loved Krishna without any motive for material or spiritual gain. Lord Chaitanya also teaches that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless narration of transcendental knowledge, and that the highest goal of human life is to develop unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. This is his desire. This is his order. This is how he's organized the society. Prabhupada did not organize the society for simply trying to identify oneself with material upadis. Prabhupada directly organized the society for helping share Krishna consciousness with other people. And it's very explicit. If you study the Articles of Incorporation for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada very clearly lays out the seven purposes, the seven principles of ISKCON. And it's very clearly stated there that this is what our mission is. Our mission isn't to make material adjustment. Our mission isn't to study a lot of literature and acquire knowledge. No, our mission is to establish places of worship of Krishna, to establish places where like-minded devotees can come together to associate, to talk about Krishna, to go to these busiest places in the material world where the darkest of ignorance is, and to spread Krishna consciousness in the mood of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. This is our mood. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Bali Prabhu. Press and hold the button, please, until you see the light come on.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. I wasn't sure what you meant by wherever we seek happiness is where we seek protection.
Mm-hmm.
Protection from what? Or protection in which way? I didn't understand.
Well, everyone's seeking happiness, ultimately, and everyone is looking for what will protect that happiness. You know, for instance, many people take shelter, and it's also where we take shelter from. Shelter and protection, they go hand in hand. And wherever we seek shelter is wherever we feel that happiness will come from. Like, for instance, if you've had like a bad day, you know, what do? Where do you take shelter to try to get relief from that bad day? You know, some people get relief from food. They eat. And then by eating, that provides them shelter. It shelters them from that distressful condition they're in, and they find a little bit of happiness. Some people take shelter of their friends. They go to their group of friends and they complain up a storm. Oh man, did you hear this thing and that thing? And, you know, she said this and then he said that and blah, blah, blah. You know, and they just rap with their friends. They let it off their chest. You know, they're taking shelter of their friends. They're seeking protection from their friends. And then they're feeling like their friends are providing them some solace, some comfort, some happiness. You know, so wherever we take shelter, wherever we seek protection, that's also where we're subconsciously identifying as being the source of where our happiness is coming from. Savasprabhu.
Thank you. It's funny, I was just listening to a lecture this morning about this point, about happiness, and Prabhupada was mentioning that the yogi, the jnani, and the karmi, they can never become satisfied because they always want something. The yogi want mystic powers, the karmis want fruitive activities, you know, so we see that the jnani, he wants, you know, knowledge. And Prabhupada says, as long as someone wants something in the material world, there never can be happiness. And the only person that can really be happy is the bhakta. Because the bhakta doesn't want anything. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shishastra prayers mentions that. He said, I don't want any number of followers. I don't want any wealth. I don't want a beautiful wife. I don't want anything. All I want, birth after birth, is service at your lotus feet. So Prabhupada said, this is the real key for happiness. That one simply wants to do everything for Krishna, mm-hmm. and Krishna only. And as long as one is focused on that activity, one will be happy, satisfied. But Prabhupada also said that this cannot be achieved unless we perform tapo divyam, tapasya. It cannot be done without tapasya. And then Prabhupada also went on in that lecture to say that one must force the mind under control. So, you know, we're thinking about happiness always, each and every mm-hmm. one of us. And sometimes we think that this tapasya in Krishna consciousness is way too difficult. I'm not happy doing this. Let me get out of here and do something where I can be happy. But Prabhupada said, this is the downfall of the living entity, that they may feel some tinge of happiness in the material world. This wonderful sensation of sex life. We really want that happiness. But then from that so-called sensational happiness or pleasure, still there's so much suffering from that activity. Day after day, so much suffering. Even in the material world, you look, people are murdering each other for this sensational satisfaction, literally. And so how is that happiness? So as long as we want something, will never be happy until you dovetail everything to Krishna.
Jai. Yeah, thank you. That's perfect. And that's exactly what Prahlad Maharaj is saying right here. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. And that's perfect. Thank you. And then we'll end with Amala Bhaktas.
You're saying something about how being sons of Krishna is bogus. Could you explain that?
Well, we are all sons of Krishna. It really depends on how one is meaning it. Like, for instance, if one means it like Christians talk about the Son of God being Christ, then that's bogus in the sense of how Christians view Christ. Because during the Council of Nicaea, they made a very subtle but very significant distinction between being begotten and being created. They said that Christ was begotten from God rather than created. So that puts Christ on the same level as God. Whereas humans are created, which puts them lower, on a lower level than God. So it really depends. Because yes, ultimately we are all jivas. We're all children of God. But if somebody comes along and says, I'm a son of Krishna or a son of God, in the mood that the Christians talk about son of God, then that is bogus. Amala Bhakta Pru.
I just want to thank you very much for enumerating those six symptoms or expressions of surrender. They're very important for all of us. They should be memorized by every single person here. Because when, as you mentioned, we use the term, you're not surrendered enough. What do we mean? Unless we actually know what is meant by surrender in terms of those six, it's just a word which you have a vague idea of what it means, but you don't specifically know what it means. So I propose that everyone here who's ever listening to this should learn those six symptoms of surrender. If you don't know them, then you don't have a target towards which you can model your life around in terms of becoming more and more surrendered. For example, to accept whatever is favorable to discharging, or to depend completely on the mercy of the Lord. You can ask yourself, am I depending on the mercy of the Lord, or am I depending upon the mercy of this person or that person? Am I really begging the Lord for more and more mercy because I'm so limited, I'm so worthless, I make mistakes, I'm subject to the four different failings of a human being? Am I depending upon the Lord? Am I becoming more modest, more humble, or am I becoming more arrogant and more hubristic as a result of my higher position? These are questions we have to ask ourselves. And we can ask them when we know those six symptoms of surrender. So they should be a part of our daily prayers. If they are a part of our daily prayers, we have a target towards which we can work to become pure devotees. Because it is the basis of surrender is the basis of our becoming pure. And as Krishna himself says so beautifully, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So what is that reward? Greater and greater purity, his greater and greater grace, and our greater and greater love for him. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very important, actually, because all these teachings are in Prabhupada's books. That's why when Prabhupada said that, I put everything in my books. It doesn't mean that all extant knowledge in the material world is in Prabhupada's books, but rather everything that we need to achieve ultimate spiritual understanding, ultimate enlightenment, it's perfectly complete and contained within Prabhupada's books. All the answers are in Prabhupada's books. That's why it's so essential that we actually read and study these books. Because then these terms won't be just some vague recollection or some vague sentimental understanding of what it means. We'll actually have tangible, factual understanding of what these terms mean. So we can, as you said, orient our life to achieve this highest goal. Thank you very much. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Prabhupada Ki Jai.